Amen. Now you're on. You're ever all posterity is going to see you just like that. I'm going to make sure that Casey gets that one up. I'm just kidding you. Lord, we just praise you and thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome night. We're going to get a lot of people in here. Not only that, Lord, we're going to have a good time tonight because you're going to be leading us. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that everybody here is starting to pray more about revival and the things that you have asked us to pray about. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Look at Kayla. Elisha's got her hung up there. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Julie.
I'd like to pray for, I don't know what her name is, but it's Fred's caregiver. Her name is Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's mom is in the hospital, and this has happened at least 3 times since I've known them. And last time she's had like some kind of episodes where she's passed out, where she says, I don't know, and they haven't been able to figure out why. So Lord, I lift up Elizabeth's mom to you, and I pray for your grace, and I pray that they don't do anything to her body, Lord, that not according to your will, for your protection on her while she's in the hospital. And whatever the ailment is, whatever the infirmity is, whatever the problem is in her body that's causing these issues, Lord, we just bind that all up and command it to go in the name of Jesus. Confound these doctors that she's just going to be fine. They haven't been able to diagnose her, Lord, because they're not you. And it could be any kind of a number of things, Father, but you see exactly what it is. And I just pray for your mercy and grace while she's there. I pray for a drawing of your spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I don't know. They're Mexican, so I'm assuming things, and I shouldn't really assume. I've not really talked to her. I know Elizabeth said she considers herself a Christian, but that they don't really go to church kind of thing. So Lord, I just pray your blessing on them. I pray for the Holy Spirit revival upon them. And I thank you, Lord, for getting her home safely in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father, for not only that, Lord, I ask that you grant repentance to them and drag them on into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Send somebody there that they would listen to. And I praise you for doing that, Lord, for these people in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, is anybody else? Hey, Joe, Barbara. Hello. Okay, Julie, you want to go ahead and play that song you got? Send me a little invite.
I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am.
Thank you,
And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ have come. And the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
And the word of our testimony, the word of our testimony, sing it out now. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, yes. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and the word.
Yeah, that's an old one. I hadn't heard that in a long time. That's a good one. I like that one. Oh, praise God. Who was that come in here singing loud up? Was that Debbie? Oh, my.
Sorry about that. I muted myself before I got on my screen.
Oh, sure you did.
I did.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, but it isn't muted here, so... When I started to sing, I couldn't sing. So I tried to, you know, whatever I did there. Sorry.
Okay, that's all right.
No, it's not.
All right. All right. I've got a little thing that I would like to show y'all. It's about almost 10 minutes long, but it's going to be worth your while to listen to it. And I had... a friend of mine send it to me. His wife had been on here. The Carols, y'all remember Tom and gosh, what was her name? I can't remember. Anyway, he sent it to me. This is awesome. Watch this. Well, just a minute. Hang on.
Good evening, everyone. Two astounding things have happened in China in the past 4 decades. First, they went from an atheist country to the largest Christian country in the world, and one that is now sending thousands of missionaries out. They also went from a completely undeveloped third world country to the biggest economy on the planet, and one that is now sending trillions of dollars in loans and investments to Latin America, Africa, and Asia.
Well, what happened? Could y'all hear it? Did it stop? It stopped on me.
We could hear
Golly.
it at the beginning, and then it seemed like it went to the graphs, and then we didn't hear anything.
Huh. I wonder if they're trying to take it down. That's just crazy. It's not working now. Let me check something here right quick. That's right. All right, let me try this one more time. Let's try it one more time.
In Asia.
Can't hear anything, Michael.
I know it. I don't know what's wrong with it. That's crazy. Yeah, Andrew.
Why don't you send the source to someone else and see if they can run it on their computer?
There you go. That's what I'd thought about doing. Believe it or not, that's what I was thinking about doing. Let's see here. One more time.
America, Africa, and Asia.
All right, I'll give up on this one. Let me send it to Julie. I'll send it over to you in a text. Hey, Julie, go on YouTube and type in why China is winning.
Is it Inside China Business? That was the thumbnail, right?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
I see it. A guy sitting there looked like a reporter or something or other. Yeah,
Yeah. All
I
right.
see it.
Lord, let it work in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Good evening, everyone. Two astounding things have happened in China in the past 4 decades. First, they went from an atheist country to the largest Christian country in the world, and one that is now sending thousands of missionaries out. They also went from a completely undeveloped third world country to the biggest economy on the planet, and one that is now sending trillions of dollars in loans and investments to Latin America, Africa, and Asia.
I can't hear it.
There apparently isn't any audio with this portion, maybe.
It was. I listened to
Well,
the
then
whole
there's
thing.
something.
David and I both did.
This is Kevin.
Okay, so there's some audio glitch through this part right here.
Okay, well, see if you can get back on. There you go.
This is Kevin Walmsley, and we are Inside China Business. That verse that I just shared on the screen, it comes from the Bible. And that's something we used to believe in once. We used to believe that the spiritual vitality of a country could be reflected in the finances. We once were proud to call ourselves, the United States, a Christian country. And once upon a time, we are also the biggest creditor country in the whole world. Now we are not a Christian country. We go out of our way to say so. And now we have to borrow money to do anything. In 1990, there were fewer than 1 million Christians here in China, less than 1% of the population. Also in 1990, the China economy accounted for less than 1% of all the economic activity in the world. What has happened since 1990, there's no word for it. The number of Christians in China went from 1 million to 100 million in just 15 years, and it's just kept growing. That had never happened before at any time or any place in the history of the world. And the economy of China went from less than 1% to the second biggest economy in the world in about the same time. If you put a chart of the growth of the Christian church in China and a chart of the economic growth in China in just 30 years, it's the same chart. It's two charts that start at zero and then go up in a straight line, a parabolic curve, basically. The economic growth that we've seen here was impossible. It's absolutely impossible. And everybody's been trying to make sense of it. How did it happen and why? And all the analysts and all the experts have been wrong. All the economists and all the investment banks and all the professors and all the universities. They were looking for some cause and effect relationship that could explain it all. And somehow they missed the biggest story in the history of the whole world. There is not a lot of media coverage or news about what goes on inside these Chinese house churches who are driving all the growth of the Christian faith here in China. But I know what's going on. So I can share what I know about the people who are inside these Chinese Christian house churches. They love their country. They love China. And every time they meet, they thank God that they're Chinese. They pray for the country, and they pray for the leaders of the country. They do this every single time. They also believe that the economic prosperity that they now enjoy, that it needs to be shared. There are still many poor people here in China, and they believe that they are responsible for helping them. They also believe that they are supposed to share their prosperity and their wealth with other people in the world. China is a very nice country now in most places. Nice homes, nice cars, nice restaurants, nice clothes. But they believe that they are supposed to go. They're supposed to go and help other countries develop. So they raise money and they start businesses and they send their money and they send themselves and they go. And they believe that when they go, that God is going to bless them and protect them. And he's going to prosper their businesses there so they can grow even more and invest even more and send even more. So that is a brief description of what's happening in millions of home churches in this country and for tens of millions of Christians who are praying for those things, believing for those things, and acting so that those things come about. The first article that I'm going to share is from the Global Times. The Global Times is an official publication of the China government. And so when you're reading it, you're welcome to imagine that an official from the China government is sitting there right next to you reading it aloud. And it's also written in English. So this is information that they want us to know. There are experts, they're all over YouTube, they're all over the TV, and they're all predicting the end of China. The economic collapse of China is just around the corner, I hear. I've been hearing it for a while. And they do have some history on their side. China has a communist government, after all, and how many of those are still around? The Soviet Union is gone. The satellite allies they had in the Central Asia and Eastern Europe, those are all gone. Cuba, Laos, Vietnam, North Korea, they all add up to zero. So what makes China different from all of them? At just about the same time that Western countries, the United States, Western Europe, turned away from God and faith, that's when the Chinese found them. And for the consequences of all that, just look around. We cannot beat these people. They cannot be beaten, not in a trade war, not in an economic war, not in a war of any kind. And this is why. Thanks for watching. Be good.
I believe that's all of it. And people don't mess around. They go with praying. They pray for their country. Pray for the leaders. I'll tell you something else. The president of China is looking at books. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Julie.
Let me put that link in the chat so people can watch it themselves. Yeah, there was a lot of the stuff that you could stop and read. It went pretty quick.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It wasn't you and it wasn't me. It was just that they did not put any audio with those areas. They didn't read it. They just had it.
It was working fine earlier. I don't know what happened. Okay, good deal. All right. Has anybody got a prayer that they'd like to pray? Hey, Cheryl. Yeah, Judy.
I'll pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, it's like you're no respecter of persons, and the Chinese and their underground churches and the movement there, because they had a lot of persecution in China, being a communist nation, and they couldn't practice Christianity. Outright, they had to go underground, you know, for their own safety. And we pray blessings on them, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for the Chinese. I thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters. They're in every country, every tribe, every tongue. And I pray for this nation, Lord, that you would stir up the spirit in your people to pray, to fervently pray that there would be a revival, that you teach your people all of us, Lord, how to pray for the nation, how to pray for the leadership, how to pray for the church leadership, how to pray for the economy here. I know we're doing what we know to do and what we've been instructed to do through, Michael, through David, through the teachings that we've received here. But it's not just us. This needs to be done, globally. And I know there's a lot of apostasy in Christianity, but you hear the heart of people, Lord. You don't look on what the religion is. You see what they see. You see what their heart is saying and what they want. And I pray, Father, for a turning in this nation. However you choose to do that, if it has to be through persecution and the judgments and the things that are happening, then that's, whatever your plan is to bring that about. We pray for your grace and mercy. We pray for the outpouring of your spirit, that there be revival in our own hearts, if there be revival in the churches, if there be a move of your spirit and a change in things. And I know we're believing for the restitution, the rewards, the restitution rewards, the Jasara, Masara Jasara, and the transfer of wealth and all these things. We don't know when that's going to be. And we hope and pray that it's soon, Lord, but still our allegiance is to you and not this nation. You're our God, and we don't want to put any government or anything else before you and thinking they're the answer. But we do pray for the prosperity of this country for the time you want to use it before Babylon falls completely. And pray for your grace, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Glory be to God. Yes, Lord, we lift up our leadership in this country too, Lord, and we ask and we pray for your wisdom upon them and their discernment to do the right thing in all aspects of our country. In Jesus' name, and Lord, we ask and we pray that more Christians would be in that political realm to help guide these people in the things that they do morally and also spiritually. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father. We know that there's some up there that claim to be Christians, and we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that you're going to up the ante in them and just give them a hunger for the Word of God, Lord. And we praise you and thank you for that, that we're going to see a mighty change in our government. And I thank you for that. Lord, I ask and I pray that your Holy Spirit fire would fall on these apostate churches, that these people would get a taste of what it is to be a child of God, loving the Lord and doing the things that you want him to do, Lord. But I sure do wish, I pray, Lord, that you would give them a taste of what the Holy Spirit fire is all about. A lot of them don't even believe in that, but I know that you can change things. You're an almighty God, and we pray for these poor people that don't have a clue as to what the Word of God is about. And they read it, and they look at it, and they skip over things. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you make the word alive in all of these apostate churches in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Anna.
I wanted to pray for I think Andrew's daughter. I think her name's Megan, right? Is that right? Okay. I couldn't remember. I didn't. She's not saved yet, is she, Andrew? Not saved yet? Okay. I wanted to pray for her. She's really been on my heart the last couple of days. So, Lord, we just lift up Megan to you, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, for Andrew's faith. I know he's been praying for her all these years, Lord, and we just believe with him that she is elect and she's saved. We just call her into the kingdom right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray that these great trials that she's going through, just bring her to her knees, Lord, and that you pour out a spirit of conviction upon her and repentance. Lord, we just speak revival over that house in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that I remember when we prayed for Benjamin and Andrew was like, thank you, Lord, this night or whatever. And then he showed up the next day. Lord, we are claiming Megan right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you have put her on my heart, and we just call her into the kingdom in the name of Jesus, Lord, completely in, fully into the kingdom, that she just have complete grief for her sins, and that you just bless her, Lord, to just cry out to you, Lord, and to acknowledge and understand that she needs a savior, Lord, that you just deliver her from everything that is hindering her. All religious spirits, new age spirits, anything, and just anything that she's going through now, Lord, over much grief, depression, any of these things, we bind them from tormenting her further, and we call her in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for a great testimony. Thank you, Lord, for filling her with joy. I pray, Lord, that as she cries out to you, that she feels an instant deliverance in her spirit, and she would know the difference, and she'd have such a good testimony to give. Lord, we rebuke any of that postpartum depression or the grief or the stress, the anxiety, insomnia, any of these things that could be plaguing her. And we just pray blessings on little Finn. Thank you, Lord, that he is just completely covered under Andrew's roof there, so to speak. And I just thank you, Lord, that he's just completely kept safe from all these torments that have been going on, and just that he's going to be raised in the kingdom from now on. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I want to pray Ephesians chapter 6 or 3 over her also, that prayer in there for her also in the name of Jesus. For this cause, Lord, we lift up Megan, and I praise you, Lord, that you would grant her according to the riches of your glory, that she may be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inward man, that Christ would dwell in her hearts through faith, to the end that she, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that she may be filled unto all the fullness of God. And now unto her that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. We thank you, Lord, it's already done. We thank you, Father, your spirit is working on her right now, on her heart, right now in the name of Jesus. And we call her into the kingdom right now. We declare and decree, Megan, you're in the kingdom. And we praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we're looking for a mighty victory here, and we're going to see the glory, that your glory is going to shine all over her like a brand new fluorescent light. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Whoo, Jesus is coming. He's doing a work in her right now. I believe it. All right. Anyone else got a prayer they'd like to pray? All right. We're going to start tonight in the real good news. And we're going to talk about the real good news for a while. So we're going to start out in chapter 1. And I'm going to go slow. We're going to go slow. We're going to get what God wants us to get in this particular book. The Lord had me start this again. I don't know how many times I've read this book. It's been a lot. But I read it a number of times, and I'm reading it again. I'm about halfway through it for whichever time it is. Again, one thing that I like about it is it pretty well goes over the whole walk that we're supposed to do. And that's why it's kind of a complete book, if you've ever read it, on everything that entails us, what our biblical walk is. So here we go. Lord, I'm even going to pray the prayer that David prayed. Greetings, saints, he says. The Lord bless you and keep you in his loving will. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask your grace today, Lord. We ask your grace to get a very, very important message one of the most important messages across to your precious people, Lord. We're asking your mercy and your grace to do this, Lord. Your good news is the very best, and it saddens me to know that so many of your people don't have the revelation of the good news. And we think that's a basic foundation, but not these days, Lord. And people do need desperately, Lord, to know that you've provided all things for them. That's already done. It's finished, Lord. And we're just asking for your mercy today, Lord, to get this revelation across today and the rest of the time that we're going to spend in this book. To fill your people's hearts with faith and boldness to be able to apprehend everything that you have provided for them in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you and we thank you. And Lord, we thank you for this precious word through Paul too. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's the good news. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Then he goes on, he said, well then why do so many of God's people not have any power? It's because they're ashamed of the good news. The good news is a powerful revelation. And when we exercise faith in it, God imparts his power to us to save in all things. And notice the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And the word salvation in the New Testament is generally the Greek noun soteria. And the verb of that is sozo. And it actually has a wonderful meaning of deliverance, salvation, preservation, healing, and provision. God has already provided our every need according to Scripture. And Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And many people limit salvation to such a very narrow band of revelation. But salvation is very, very big. This word soteria, which is generally translated as salvation, is very broad. And as we study that, we'll see that the good news, the gospel, provides us everything we need. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. He said, we once asked a local man who was Greek what soteria meant to him. And he said, it means all my needs supplied like a little baby. I've never forgotten that, he said. And as I researched the scriptures, I found out that's exactly what it means. All of our needs supply. But it's all of our needs supplied to the believers. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Not necessarily to what we loosely call Christians, but to the believers. Praise God. Has anybody got any questions or any comments? When you think about it, when I often think about this, even this first page here, I think we don't have to worry about anything. God's going to supply everything. He supplies the Spirit of God. He supplies all these angels that's coming around. He supplies our food. He supplies our house. He supplies everything that we need. As long as we believe and do the things that he's asked us to do. I'm going to go to the next paragraph, unless somebody else got a comment they'd like to make. Just that first page there, that tells us everything we need to know about the gospel. That God's going to supply it all, everything. He supplies the peace in your heart. Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
Just makes me think sometimes when you read that, it's like, what do people think the gospel really is when it said, when they read that scriptural, it is the power of God unto salvation. this power, the gospel. And I was thinking some of the verses in like Corinthians, and other churches that he wrote to. It's like, our testimony, when they came and proclaimed the gospel to them, it came with signs and wonder. It came with power of the Holy Spirit, and nowadays it is so far from that. And it's like, I just wonder, it's like when people read the Bible, what do they think when they read these things? Like, where is the power? Where is the power of God when I got saved? What happened? There should be something. There should be something with that.
Well, I believe this, Jenny, is that they like that McDonald's gospel where they could go in there and listen to the preacher teach to them who doesn't know the gospel himself. And they think that they've got it all and they're okay and they're going to heaven because he said that once saved, always saved. I'm saved because I went up there and did what I had to do and then now I'm okay. But they don't read the Word of God, in which is very evident, because most of them don't even believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that is shameful. But anyway, God's going to have to get their attention, and I believe he's fixing to do it. Go ahead, Missy.
It's like the beginning and the end of the gospel is I repent and believe in Jesus and he's forgiven my sins. That's all it is to them,
They don't
to
even know
most of
what
Christians.
repent is.
Yeah, I mean actually it's I accept Jesus, and lots of times the quote unquote sinner's prayer isn't the repentance isn't there. It's I accept Jesus in my heart deal. There's
That's
that's
not
not
even
in
in the
them.
Bible.
Right, exactly. So just gonna say you took
I'm
my
sorry. I'm
word.
sorry. I'm getting all excited here.
That's all right. That's all right. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean it's so sad. I mean
Amen.
it's like I know a group of Christians that believe overcoming is overcoming sex denominations and everything, when in reality, that's what they are too. That's what they think overcoming is. It's such a prideful thing,
Well,
you know.
just like I said before, they're looking for a shortcut. And they think the pastor is who the shortcut is.
Well, we thank
Yeah,
you, Lord.
Debbie.
They're going to get woken up
Yeah.
real soon here. They're going to get
Amen.
the real gospel, Lord.
Yeah. Thank you,
We
Lord.
need
Yes, Lord, we're
praise
thinking
you,
that
Lord.
we're going to give them the truth here out of this word. And I thank you, Father, that we don't have to talk about them anymore. We can help them by praying for them in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that that's what we're going to do. All right, Debbie.
I was going to say something like to what Missy just said about they want a shortcut, and he goes on to explain about faith. You know, it's from faith to faith, and so a lot of people that get saved and even read the word, it's work. They don't want to have to apply that faith because it means actually doing something. It means giving up, you know, things, and to have that faith and not do this, not do that, so you can walk in that faith and receive what the word says. So. Yeah, and that's I think they're still going to get they think to take that shortcut, but it doesn't work. So they have to learn, understand what faith they don't understand what faith is. They don't go deep enough into the word or read enough into the word to know to even that they have to apply that faith to them, you know, to get these things. So I just think that my big problem is it's not having that understanding
Amen.
what faith is.
Amen. Yeah, I do too. That's what I was fixing to say, sure. Pray the Lord give them eyes to see and ears to hear and opening up the scriptures to each one of them. The revelations of the Lord would come alive in them. In Jesus' name, we just anoint every Bible out there that these people, anybody that makes any, even Pentecostals, Lord, that when they open up that Word of God, that it would come alive to her. And I praise you for doing that for him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, where in the world did I go? Okay, that's where I quit right there. Romans 1. Okay, Barbara, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, I see.
Sorry. I was just going to say, oh my goodness, Lord help me.
What you going to say?
I know. I just all of a sudden brain freeze. I just remember. Down. Okay. I just remember when I was searching the truth because, you know, I wanted the truth and that I never knew the gospel before. It was like I was just told, you know, to accept Christ. And of course, you know, I accepted him because, you know, I really wanted him, you know, but I guess I was looking for something much deeper because I knew I was sinful and I wanted to change. I knew I needed the Lord, but I didn't know the gospel at first. You know, I'm talking before I came to UBM. I'm talking years ago. I never heard the gospel. And when I heard the gospel, I was like, wow, this is too good to be true. I was so excited, but there was still a lot I didn't understand. And, well, I just praise God that, you know, he did help me to see and, you know, lead me into truth because there, that's what it was. I wanted the truth. I didn't want to be who I was. I didn't want my old self. I needed a change. And that's exactly what it's about. You have to want the change. You have to want the Lord. You have to be in order to receive the truth. You have to see yourself as a sinner. I mean, a real sinner. You know what I mean? To be able to get the salvation that the Lord is offering. I mean, he's so good. I still get all excited when I see, you know, how I don't know. He's just so good. You know, he's so merciful and loving. And well, praise God. Okay, I'm done. I'm not done.
Okay. All right. Praise God. Yeah, well, we all were in that boat at one time. I was in that boat. I'd read the word and I said, what is he talking about? How can anybody understand these things? And then I read Sovereign God. And boy, when I read Sovereign God, I said, well, that's it right there. That's it right there. Then I started understanding what the word of God says. Through the Holy Spirit, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I started understanding everything. Woo! Okay, Julie, go ahead. Oh, your hand was up.
It was, yeah. Okay. Well, Lord, I thank you for not over answering every prayer here, but also, Lord, just give them a desire to open up the book and read it, and to believe what they say, and help them just to put aside everything else that they once learned about things. And I want to lift up this guy to you, Lord. And I haven't thought of him for a few years, but I gave him both the Good News, this book we're reading, and the Sovereign God book. And he was somebody who grew up a Mormon, and he was pretty much like done with it. And he was just done of it. He didn't expound on anything. But I said, and I just talked to him about, you know, the Lord and about the Bible and that kind of thing and just my relationship. And I asked him if he would be interested in reading these two books. And he's like, yeah, sure. I want to, yeah, I'm interested in what, you know, other religions are saying and that kind of thing. And, you know, and I haven't seen him since. But Lord, I lift up Gino to you, and I pray that the enemy has been bound and gagged, and that you have put in him, placed in his heart, a real desire to want to know the truth, to want to know the real Jesus, and that he was willing to walk away from Mormonism and all of his family, you know, was told him he was crazy. He even told me that his parents came over and saw these books sitting on his table, and he was reading them, and they were kind of surprised. He's like, I just want to know what this is about, you know, and I'm not afraid. He said, I'm not afraid to read these things. So Lord, I just pray that you've touched him and you're still working in him, and the devil can't have Gino, and that you are blessing him with the truth, and he's getting real revelation of who you are and who you've called him to be. And I thank you for that, Lord, that he's just somebody that, he walked away from, well, I didn't even know he was Mormon, but that was after we got to talk and found that out. So, Lord, thank you. You do all things well, and you know the hearts of minds of everybody, and you know who your elect are. And I thank you, Lord, that there's fruit being born there in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Would y'all believe with me if I pray a little bit of something here for the apostate churches? I bind up that spirit, that religious spirit that's upon them that won't allow them to seek the truth right now in the name of Jesus. And I break your power off of these churches in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that it is done, because we have sent bunches and bunches of angels out there to get this gospel out, the truth of the gospel out to these people. And I praise you and thank you, Lord. We're going to have a great and wonderful revival here shortly in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, that the truth will start coming out as soon as they open that word of God. They look in there and they say, wait a minute, this says that we don't have this, or we do have this. And they're going to get it and take it out to the public, to the people. And I praise you and thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Let the word come alive to your people in Jesus' name. Devil, you're on notice. You got to get yourself out of there now in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I'm accepting that prayer. Would you pray just for religious? Because I want to say is, when I go and evangelize in the street, sometimes it's most people are Christians. Well, we all know that, and but most of them are baptized, but don't know. I haven't got a clue what this baptism means. It just means accept your sins has been removed. You're now fine, but that's where it stops. And they send him in the world. Send him in the streets. That's what the most people know, and that's just a big thing. I'm not sure if it's about America, but this is, yeah, it's they baptized, my sins have been forgiven. Now I'm fine. I'm not gonna have to study my Bible anymore. I'm now serve God, save me. That's for most people in this country. That's I'll be praying more for this about this country now. Thank you.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for a revival starting out over there where Joe is, too. In Jesus' name, we believe with him that the people that he talks to are going to get a revelation, and they're going to see the light of Jesus Christ on him and want more of it themselves. And I praise you and thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I'm going to believe with him that there's going to be a revival right there on his block in Jesus' name that'll go throughout that whole city of Pretoria in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Some people might say, man, you're believing for a lot. No, I'm believing for God. I'm believing God to do a work, not Joe, not any one of us, because it's going to be Joe and G, it's going to be Jesus Joe out there on the sidewalks talking to the people. And the God's going to anoint him to give out that gospel in a way that they're going to listen. In the name of Jesus, and I praise you, Father. Whether it be in English or Afrikaans, it's going to be anointed in Jesus' name. Amen. Then you're going to have to come on here and preach a sermon in Afrikaans just so we can hear it. That'd be awesome. Amen. All right. Anybody else? I get excited. How many of you like to stir up your spirit? I get excited when I start talking about the word, don't y'all? All right, here we go. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I think that's where I am in it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's right. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everybody, everyone that believes. to the Jew first, also to the Greek, for therein is revealed a righteousness. And David says, this is because we're counted righteous by our faith. In the New Testament, the people who walk by faith are the ones who are justified, because counted righteous means justified. Romans 1 and 17, for therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, but the righteous shall live from faith. David says the literal translation there is from faith and not by faith. God puts a high premium on people who believe and act upon his word. James chapter 2 and verse 17. Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. 18. Yea, a man will say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I, by my works, will show thee my faith. People who act on what the word says are going to see results. They will receive power from God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. But my righteous one shall live from faith. The numeric pattern again proves that the correct translation is from faith and not by faith. Our spiritual heavenly life comes from faith. Hebrews 10 and 38, but my righteous one shall live from faith. And if he shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition. Perdition is destruction, David says. And everyone who shrinks back from the walk of faith is being destroyed. They're under the curse. They're subject to all the things that faith delivers us from. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 39. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. When you first receive salvation, it's not your soul that gets saved, it's your spirit that is saved. And as you continue to walk after the Spirit, you bear fruit in your soul. Walking by faith brings us the manifestation of God's salvation in our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. And having our mind, will, and emotions in tune with Jesus Christ is what this salvation is all about. And Lord, we ask and we pray that you would get this particular part of it through and in the apostate religion. They don't have a clue of what faith is and what the truth of the gospel is. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you open up a door for them to see that all they're doing is just believing what the preacher tells them rather than getting in the word. And Father, I ask and I pray for an opening, a revelation to a bunch of people out there to take this message out to them and open up the doors to the real gospel. And I praise you for it, Father. And I'm going to walk by faith to believe that you're doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody else? Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. I'm going to read that again. Now, faith is assurance of things hoped for, and a conviction of things not seen. Some translations says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the power of God to save you in every circumstance, in every situation, which is the gospel, the really good news, comes because of faith. It comes when you believe that you have already received these things. And that's what I want to prove to you today, David said. I want to prove to you and encourage you that you don't have to talk God into anything. He's already made provision for you. It's a free gift that he puts into your hand. He gave it to you 2,000 years ago, and he ain't taking it back. You can give it up by not walking by faith, but he won't take it back. Our faith stands in as the substance of the thing that we need, and the thing that we need in every circumstance is salvation. And I'm going to prove that to you, because many of you have a very narrow idea of what salvation is. Hebrews 11 and 12. Oh, I'm sorry, 2. For therein the elders had witness borne to them. 3. By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things which appear. The word of God has framed the world by the faith of God. God himself creates through faith. And if we're going to be a son of God, we got to do the same thing. Our words will bring forth the creating power of God through us into every situation and every circumstance. But we need to use the substance of the things hoped for, and that's our faith. What does that sound like to y'all? Somebody tell me. We went through this some time ago. Quantum faith, doesn't it? That's quantum faith. He spoke things into existence that wasn't there. That's quantum faith. We speak things when we're suffering from some malady or something wrong with our body. We speak faith. Nope. In the name of Jesus, by his stripes, I'm healed. Now, body line up with the word of God, and I'm healed. Bless the Lord. Go ahead, Missy.
Well,
I can't hear you, Missy.
I'm trying to think here. Hebrews 4, 17 or something. Abraham believed the God that called the things that are not, that calls the things that are not as though they were. That's quantum faith. That's before you said the quantum faith thing. That's what was going through my head.
Yeah.
We call the things that are not as though they were. We just speak them into being. I have the same power as the Lord has, you know, as God does. I have the same faith.
Amen.
I remember somewhere it says have the faith of God, or have God's faith, you know, which calls the things that are not as though they were. He spoke everything into being. Gosh, sometimes when I think about that, I'm like, wow.
Listen, what you said is true. There wasn't nothing out there when he spoke it.
Mm-hmm.
They want nothing out there. And he spoke, look, I command all, I just decree and declare there's going to be planets up there. There's going to be a bunch of stars. I don't know how he said it, but ever how he said it, it worked. Because he believed, didn't he? Now go ahead, Missy, I'm sorry.
He said, let there be light.
Yeah. And I heard another preacher say this one time. He said, and you know, the universe is always expanding. The scientists have said that the universe is still expanding. And he said, if you could run out there in front of that word that the Lord spoke, you'd probably hear the Lord say, let there be light, as light came through. He said, because it's ever expanding. Praise God. Woo. And we have, as the Lord has told us, and we've already read, we have the same authority as a new creation in Christ, don't we? We do. We're a new creation. We have Christ Jesus living in us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the power of the universe living inside of us. Praise God. And we're new creations. When you're a new creation, you're as pure as a driven snow. Praise God. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
No, he said, let there be light. But he told us to walk in the light as he is in the light. And we have fellowship one with another by the blood of Jesus and cleansed us from all our sins. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And he even tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:16, for what fellowship hath, for what agreement hath God's sanctuary with idols? Know ye not that ye are the sanctuary of God? And God saith that he will dwell in them and walk. And he said it the same way he said, let there be light. And he told you to walk in the light. And I will be God to them, and they shall be my. All those verses from 16 to 18 is the life, is that faith life that God's going to walk in. You know, and all you got to do is believe what he said there, because that's God's word too. And it's the spirit, it's God's breath, and it's teaching you it right there. And we're walking in the light of his teaching, which is one of the lights in your candlestick. Praise the glory to God. Where you go, God goes with you. Because you know why? He gave you Jesus' life to walk inside you. And that's the best thing. That's the best thing right there. You're walking in the light with the Father, as Jesus always would. The Apostle John there is, you know, he was one of Jesus' favorites, John. And he just said it all right there, completely correct. You know, I'm not saying, you know, he probably, you know, usually the youngest apostle, everyone wants to help the youngest guy, you know. And, you know, even Peter, you know, what about him, you know, at the end of John there? Anyway, he's the light. He's the light of the world. And he started the world by talking, you know, and the land was made out of the water, and Jesus was put in a tomb, and you were put under the water in your baptism, so that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word. And you came up out of that water. When he was buried, you were buried with him. I know it was a stone hewn out of the stone, but that stone came from the water. So, and here we are, you know, we're coming up out of that water into newness of life. And that's everything Jesus had. You have now. Even the stuff you don't know you have. You have potential of having it. And of course the Lord is telling you that he can hearken unto you even today. And give you salvation right now. All we gotta do is ask. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Anybody else? Cheryl says, break down the walls of Jericho so we can come in and take our land in Jesus' name. Praise God. That's right. Them Jericho walls went right straight down. They weren't broke down. They were pushed down. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, straight down. All right, let's see here if I can remember where I was. Hebrews 11:2. I'm going to do that. For therein the elders had witness borne to them by faith. We understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of things which appear. The word of God has framed the world by the faith of God. God Himself creates through faith. And if we're going to be a son of God, we got to do the same thing. Our word will bring forth the creating power of God through us into every situation and every circumstance. But we need to use the substance of the thing hoped for, and that's our faith. We need to give God the substance. If we want the thing hoped for, because Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing unto Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that seek after Him. Also, Jesus said in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith be it done unto you. And then Matthew 8 and 13, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. He constantly made faith the requirement. Praise be to God. And now we see the things that God is creating are not made of things which appear in this world. The things which appear in this world are things that are made by man. But Jesus said, Luke chapter 17 and verse 20, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom that God is building, and He is building it only by faith. The works of man cannot be heard in God's temple. 1 Kings 6 and verse 7. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready at the quarry. And there was neither hammer, nor axe, nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. The temple that God is building is, of course, His people. No tool could be heard in there. And that's a symbol to show that the works of man cannot build this. We also know that all of these things made by man are going to pass away. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 27. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken may remain. Aha! All the things made by man will be shaken. The works of man, the religions of man, the organizations of man. Boy, we need to underline that one. All these things will be shaken until the only things that are left are the things that are created through faith. We, like God, learn to, Romans 4:17, call the things that are not as though they were. And our faith has the power to create all of our needs. In other words, it's our faith that is used to create whatever is needed. Hebrews 12 and verse 28 says, wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace, whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Glory be to God. Yes, and one thing He loves to consume is the flesh of the beast on the altar. We need to cooperate with Him in burning up the beastly nature of our flesh, our old man. And one way we can do that is by believing the good news. And He says, I'm going to share that with you too. But first, let me share with you the revelation of just how great and broad the salvation of the real good news is. Any questions or any comment? Okay. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace. Well, we know that grace is unmerited and unearned. It's a free gift, so you can't work for it. It can only come by faith. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace have you been saved through faith. Some versions say, are you saved? But the numeric pattern and the Nestle Alan text, which is comprised of the three ancient manuscripts, say, "Have you been saved?" Because salvation was accomplished at the cross. And the word "saved" here is again the word sozo. And it's the verb of the noun soteria, which covers everything. It covers all of your needs supplied, just like for a baby. And all your needs were supplied at the cross. Praise be to God. And that's what salvation is. Many people think that salvation is only the salvation of your spirit. But no, we're going to see that it's not just your spirit. Salvation includes not just your spirit. It also includes your soul, your body, and your circumstances, so that all your needs are met completely. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory." Whoo, glory to God, what a gospel that is. There it is. Man's works are not going to be preserved through this time, because your works will ultimately fail you. We've got a wilderness coming in which man's works won't preserve us. They won't work, and it'll have to be the supernatural power of God out of heaven that meets the needs of God's people in the days to come. God's not going to permit our flesh to save us in the days to come. It's going to be faith. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9. "Not of works, that no man should glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." And David says, of course, and of course, that's the works of the Lord, not the works of the flesh, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. He says, keep Ephesians 2. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. I saw you.
You know, over there in Galatia, it says, just to reiterate what you're saying there, is that before the faith came, we were kept inward under the law, shut up from the faith to be revealed. That's near the end of chapter 3 of Galatians. But that man's works is that law. That's the different inward man. And we have the new inward man, Christ now. Because the faith that's being revealed is what Jesus actually gave you at that cross. And that's that life in you, the new inward man. 30-fold fruit, 60-fold fruit, 100-fold fruit, ever increasing by the workmanship of God in you by grace. That's the unmerited favor. God's working this in you. He's creating you in Christ Jesus. Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. I tell you what, we've already read a lot of good word here. Praise God. Keep Ephesians 2:8. Chapter 2 and verse 8 in mind as we study the word saved in other places in the Bible, because we're going to see that whatever salvation is, it's already been done. And it's only going to come through faith. By grace have you been saved. God wants us to believe something in order for us to have the manifestation of our salvation in our life. And if we look at how this word saved is used, we'll know that whatever God is speaking about with this word, it's already been given to us. Luke chapter 7 and verse 48. "And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven." Obviously, he's talking about salvation of her spirit here. Verse 49. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that even forgiveth sins? Verse 50, And he said unto the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. This is the common understanding of what salvation is all about. And here it used the word, and here it used the word saved for the word sozo, which we saw in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. In other words, by grace have you been sozoed through faith. So we see here that our sozo in this case was already provided. And now I'm going to apply this to other things. Some people say healing is not a part of salvation, or deliverance is not a part of salvation. And they go on and on with what's not a part of salvation. But all that's a lie. It's not scriptural, and I'm going to prove it to you. We see that your sins being forgiven is the initial step of salvation, of receiving a new spirit from God. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Thy faith is what gives you the initial salvation before it bears fruit in the rest of your life. And the word for saved here is the word sozo. But sozo is also used in many other places. Luke chapter 8, verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, who had spent all her living upon physicians and could not be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the issue of her blood staunched. And Jesus said, Who is it that touched me? David said, Well, that's very interesting. And back to the verse, And when all denied, Peter said, and they that were with him, Master, the multitudes press thee and crush thee. Verse 46, But Jesus said, Someone did touch me, for I perceived that power had gone forth from me. Can you imagine? Here is the Son of God, and here is a woman in need who touched him by faith. And one thing we can see here very plainly is that God wants us to understand you don't have to talk Jesus into this. Why? Because it has already been provided. You don't have to convince him. You don't have to waste hours trying to get God to do something for you. And you're deceived if you're doing that, because before we get through with this study, you're going to see that God has already given these things to you. So don't waste your time. Accept it by faith. Glory be to God. Luke chapter 8, verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him and declared in the presence of all the people for what cause she touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Made thee whole here is obviously talking about a healing. And it was a healing that Jesus did not even know about until it had already happened because of this woman's faith. It was not a matter of him saying yes or no. It was a matter of her faith touching God, and the answer came because it has already been provided. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. And he said this constantly, thy faith, thy faith. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for God's faith? Don't wait. She didn't wait. She touched God by faith and she was healed. The word translated, made thee whole, is the word sozo. And remember, by grace have you been saved, sozoed through faith. And in this case, salvation is a healing. You've been healed by grace, by unmerited favor, through faith. sozo is being used as a healing here. And even though the translation is made whole, it's the same word. It's the same word as in Ephesians 2 and 8. So what does that tell you? It tells you that you can translate it the same way. It also tells you in this text that sozo is a healing, praise be to God. This word is used quite often, and we see here that healing is a part of salvation. Sozo is the word saved, and healing is a part of salvation. So don't forget that. Don't let people deceive you about that. Now let me tell you a little something about this lady that went up there. She knew in her heart of hearts, as some of them say out there sometimes, in her heart, that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, that she would be saved. She knew it in her spirit that once she touched Jesus, she was going to get saved. And that's the type of faith that God wants us to have. And if we pray and we believe that what we prayed is going to happen, it's going to happen. It's already happened. All we have to do is believe it. That's what she did. She pulled on his spirit. He didn't even know that she was around, did he? He said, somebody, be done, got some of that good miracle work and healing. Come right straight forth out of my body into their body. Glory be to God. And she was instantly healed because of her faith. Praise be to God. Anybody got any comments? I love that. I love that particular story there. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know that we have a garment too. You know that we put on. It says there in 13, I believe, of Romans. So in just the access that woman had to the garment, Jesus felt it. But can you imagine putting it on? Praise and glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
I wonder what that actually feels like, because I'm believing that to happen to us too. I say we will actually know that something has been, that some form of power has gone out from us to somebody, whether we're doing something for somebody or not. Like this woman came up and just touched his garment, and in the monks of, you know, multitudes of people, I would just wonder what that felt like. You know, how would you know, except you felt something physically in your body, you knew that power had come forth from you.
How many times have you prayed for somebody and felt the power of God go out of you into them? Many times. Yeah, I've felt it many times.
Many I felt the presence of the Lord. I guess I felt the presence of the Lord, but nothing like anything flowing from me. Maybe I haven't had that experience, but.
Well, that what it felt like with me was like, lightning going out of my arms into and out of my fingers and arms and stuff into the people. And I've had people that had their hands on them before that it knocked, that they would, this has been years ago, that they had to step back. And I have to tell them, said, don't put your hands on them while I'm praying for them, so the power will stay in them and not go through them and to you and stop on you. I don't know if I was biblical or not, but that's what I believed at the time.
Did have one time when I prayed for somebody, she said she felt something.
Yeah.
She said she felt something, but I myself didn't feel anything. Yeah. So there was something physically there. It just, I wasn't feeling it, but that's okay. It, you know, God gave it for her, you know,
yeah.
Praise the Lord.
I think in the days to come, that's going to be evident. That's going to be real evident. Praise be to God. Yeah, go ahead, Ben. had to see who
Hey,
that was
y'all.
here for a minute.
Yeah,
Hey, buddy.
hey, y'all. I'm just walking to my dad's place right now, and just kind of wanted to share my experience with, you know, that feeling, I guess you could call it, of that Holy Spirit sort of
Sure.
feeling. Like, I feel it. I've yet to have, like, Julie, like, some sort of experience of, like, the Holy Spirit, like, moving through me into someone. But I definitely feel it, like, when there's an attack and I'm rebuking it. Like, it's more like an aura around me. And, like, there's no penetration. It's more just like an aura that, like, moves beyond and out of me. Like, it's kind of like pushing something out or something. I don't know. It always happens when there's an attack in my head or something. Hard to explain, but I think that's just kind of what, that's how I imagine it in my head, I guess. There's like an aura of light just pulsing something out of me.
Amen. That's exactly the way it feels. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, the power of the Word of God is God breathed, and even just by speaking it, the word, you're the conduit it's going through, because that's the word that made the universe too. And you sense it sometimes, this is going to work now when you made your prayer. Or it doesn't always have to be, because it wasn't in the example that Michael just read. Who touched me, you know? So that's amazing. That it would come out of Jesus, and he didn't even say anything. And
Yeah, he wasn't ministering, was he?
no, he was just walking down the street.
That's what's so awesome about it.
You know, Peter experienced the same thing when just the shadow of his body landing on a person. The presence.
Yep.
Praise God.
Yeah. It's a wonderful experience, actually. It really is. And the more people that you pray for, the more people that you pray for, the more that you'll experience that. When you start doing the Word of God, boy, it's a different ball game. It's good. It's really good. You feel the presence of the Spirit all the time. And there are times when you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, when you pray for somebody, they're going to get healed. You know it. You know it in your spirit. And every time that you know that's what I call the gift of faith. You know that they're going to get healed. Because you come here, man, let me put my hands on you because God fixing to heal you. Glory to God. And he will. And they'll just get up and be healed and start yelling and screaming and dancing around. Go ahead, Julie. Praise
That's
God.
what I think. What you're saying is that that's the gift of faith. You knew it. You were assured that when you did something, that was the gift. That's how it works. I believe that. And there's been times I think I operated in that for somebody, praying for somebody. I just knew that when I did that, and I may not have ever witnessed it happen or whatever, I just knew it was done, and it did. I even though I never saw the person again, I just knew because I knew that it was the Lord. I just knew it was the
Amen.
Lord. I knew it was his will. I knew what was, I just, it was a knowing, right? The assurance. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts. We want all the gifts. We want to be walking in those gifts and operating those gifts and be unlimited for how you use us in Jesus' name.
You know, he's told us how to walk that away, and it's going to have to be us that does it, and that is develop that relationship with him every day, and be close to him and know the Word of God and whatever it is that you're going to be praying about. I've had that feeling under the word of faith, or the gift of faith, I've had it in the gift of miracles. I knew that when I prayed for somebody that they were fixing to get something like a heart or whatever it was, and it would always be right. And the gift of miracles, the gift of faith, and the gift of healing. I always knew when I which one it was that was fixing to, somebody was fixing to get blessed. I knew that. Praise God. And that's, you will too. You'll know it. You'll walk up to him and say, come here. God wants to heal you. God said in his word, he sent me here to heal you. God told me he wants me to heal you. He wants to heal you through me. It ain't nothing that you can do other than speak and put your hands on and make them know that they've been healed. Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I can see the times, Andrew, when you're going to be walking into a store and you're going to see some old lady in a wheelchair with her daughter pushing her like I did that time at the Lone Oak County Fair. God is so good. I saw her pushing up. I said, you ready to come out of that wheelchair, Mama? She said, I said, how long you been in that chair? She told me how many years she'd been up in there. Said, but I got my lovely daughter to push me around. I said, you ready to come out of that wheelchair? She said, you don't know. She said, you just don't know. I want to come out of it. I said, in the name of Jesus. Power of God was all over me. I said, in the name of Jesus, come up out of that chair, Mama. And she stood right up. The rest of the day, she pushed her daughter around in that wheelchair at the Lone Oak County Fair. Glory to God, that was so awesome. Oh, my. And you have that ability. We all have that ability to do that. It is awesome. Well, that time when the guy called me and he said, go pray for this guy's baby. Said it was just born. And they said, the doctor said it had a hole in their heart. And she might not live. And I said, okay. So I went up to Children's Hospital, went in there. And I asked the daddy, I said, can I pray for your daughter? Well, who are you? I said, somebody called me and asked me to come up here and pray for your daughter. He said, go for it. And so I did. Power of God was all over me, and I put my hand on that baby, newborn, brand newborn. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command that heart to be healed and that hole to leave its body and that organ to be replaced by a brand new one. And then I stepped back. I said, that baby's healed. I said, you have the doctors check it out because that hole's gone. And I just walked out, went downstairs and went to praying in the spirit. Oh, my. He called me a little bit later and he said, they can't find anything. That baby is healed. I said, praise God. Praise God, man. It's not, I didn't do nothing but do what he asked me to do, and that's come up here and pray for that baby. God healed him. I said, give the glory to him. Praise God. But that's we're gonna be able to sit up in heaven, Andrew. We're gonna be talking about the times ahead. Say, Andrew, you remember that time that you went out there and there were 14 people out there that had something wrong with them. And you just waved your hand and you said, be healed in the name of Jesus. And all 14 of them got healed. I'm going to say, yeah, I remember that. That's the kind of testimony you want to have. You want to have putting smiles on mama's and daddy's faces of the child is alive and healed. Put the smiles and faces on grandmas that was in a wheelchair for the last 14 years, come out of them wheelchairs and start pushing their daughter around. Come out when you got a four-year-old son that his feet were born like this. They were toe-to-toe. He had to walk like a club foot. And then you pray for him. And that thing started cracking and moving like this. Glory to God, man, I went to shout. And that, and the boy I was with, he told that child, he said, start walking out through there. And he started walking out through there. You could hear the bones cracking. God was just, he was making it whole. That thing straightened out just as straight as an arrow. And that little boy started walking out there, and he looked back, and he grinned real big, and he took off running. Mama was just a shouting. This was in Memphis. Mama was shouting. She was dancing. She was praising God, and all the women that was with her was praising God. This was in some kind of center. I forget what it was, but a lot of people were there. And that child, when he come back, Andrew, he was walking like this, and then he started doing this. You know, your mind, it remembers that his feet are supposed to be like this, but he's been healed, and he hadn't gotten the message yet. And he started doing this, and she went out there, and she grabbed that boy. She said, "Don't you never, as long as your skin is black and your eyes is open, do that. Let me see you walking like that again." And he straightened him up, boy, and back he went, walking straight. Never had another problem with him. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Yes. It's a lot of fun seeing people get healed. It's a lot of fun. I've had enough about this. Glory to God. Where'd I stop at? Has anybody got an example? Anybody want to talk about seeing somebody healed? I could go all night long, but I ain't going to. Man, it's a lot of fun. Okay. Where'd I stop at? Y'all remember?
I think you're right in the middle of the page 11.
Here's another example. Okay. Here's another example, Luke chapter 8 and verse 36. "And they that saw it told them how he that was possessed with demons was made whole. This was the demoniac with the legion of demons in him." He was made whole. He was saved. When you have demons, you need to be saved. And that's the word right there, sozo. It's the same exact word being used everywhere else as saved or made whole. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. "For by grace have you been delivered, sozoed, through faith." In the case of this demoniac, sozo is being used as a mighty, powerful deliverance, which the overwhelming majority of mankind doesn't need, because most people don't have legions of demons. So we see that salvation has to do with deliverance too. And then we have this instance in Matthew 8 and 23. "And when he was entered into a boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep." He was totally entered in the rest and wasn't worried about a thing. He knew that he was in the Father's hand. Fear is one of the biggest destructions in our lives. And when we react to what we see or feel around us, then we give the devil permission to execute the curse upon us. Fear is faith. It's just faith in reverse. Matthew 8 and 25, "And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Save, Lord, we perish." Again, that's the word sozo. But in this case, it refers to being saved from destruction and includes the idea of protection. Matthew 8 and 26, "And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Why are you fearful? In other words, why didn't you take care of this yourself? Fear did not permit them to partake of the benefit of God. And it's a good thing Jesus woke up. By grace have you been saved through faith. but they didn't have faith. They were not claiming the benefits of God, of his deliverance, of his provision, of his safety from destruction. They weren't claiming these benefits because they weren't exercising any faith. And then Jesus woke up with his faith and saved the day. And I'm going to stop right there. He saved the day. How many of you have rebuked the wind and it's happened? Yeah, that's a good one. Praise God. We did that the other day. We rebuked the cloud. The other day it was cloudy, foggy, funky looking outside. And David was up here, come up here, and I said, let's pray this stuff out of here. He said, yeah, that's what I come up here for. We're going to pray this stuff out of here. So we just blew it out. We said, in the name of Jesus, we command these clouds and these fog to get out of here off of them. Yeah, get out here off of this mountain. And we just get out of here. And so we both had to get ready. So we had to get ready to go to town. By the time we got to Madisonville, the sun was out and the clouds was gone. Praise God. God is so good. One time we had two tornadoes hit us one night. Two of them. Or tried to hit us. David was praying downstairs and I was praying upstairs. I didn't hear him till after the fact, but he heard him before and he started praying. Then I heard him getting overhead and I started praying too. But David, he's done that a couple of times. All right, anybody else? Looks like we're about out of time here. Yeah, Missy.
I have a good song to go along with this.
Okay.
Okay, let me see if I can share it. Okay. Help me, Lord. give me sharing rights. You gonna give me sharing rights?
What's that?
You gonna give me sharing rights?
Oh, I thought she was gonna sing one.
I don't know it. I know bits and pieces of it, but no.
Let's see, share settings. It doesn't give me the right to do it. You're going to have to
see what I did is, yeah, when you click the share button, it'll ask you to request it, and then you can do it.
Yeah, we don't have the old one. We had a update.
There's nothing here that says, okay, let me see here. It says share. Are you seeing anything?
We're seeing you. You went off the video is all. Look, she has to hit the share button, the arrow up share button, right, Judy? Hit the up button on that, and it'll come
I
up
did
with
hit
the,
that. I did hit that.
Well,
did you, you some, did you didn't you give options then to share your screen?
Let me get back.
What's the name of the song? Maybe she can get it.
Unashamed by Matthew West.
You don't have a menu there, Missy, off of share.
Yeah, I do, but all it says is Zoom Docs, Zoom whiteboards, blah, 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 blah. No request thing or whatever, request share, nothing like that. Because I'm on my tablet. It's not
Doesn't
set
give you
up.
an option to share your screen?
Yeah, it does, and I did click on that.
Okay, and then what
Click
happened?
on it again. Click on it
Oh,
again.
did you click on the share options for share sound and optimize for video?
I didn't see anything like that. Says so there's nothing about video or anything like that.
Okay. You want me to do it?
Sound, yeah, just do it,
Okay.
please.
Okay, is it this one here?
Yeah.
Three brothers in a fire, willing to die for their faith. But you were with them in the fire, and they walked out the next day. And Daniel met a lion because he chose to pray. But you shut the mouth of that lion and he walked out the next day. So what's gonna be said of me when it's all said and done? Will I stand for my beliefs or will I turn around and run? Well, let the whole world hear me say, I'm unashamed.
That's a good one. Well, all right. Anybody else got anything before we get out of here tonight? I enjoyed it. Y'all enjoy it tonight? I did. I tell you what, it reinforces what we need to have, you know, our faith. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Y'all be blessed, yeah?